You're listening to the Passporter Moms podcast.
Hello, thank you for joining us for episode 41 of the Passporter Moms podcast, Disney and Beyond. I'm Jennifer Marks, Passporter author and Passporter Mom.
And I'm Sarah Varney, Passporter News Editor and Passporter Mom.
The Passporter Moms podcast is a weekly podcast for all travelers with or without kids. We serve up a healthy serving of tips and advice for vacations to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, and destinations in the U.S. and abroad. The topic of today's podcast is going to be signature dining, and we have a special guest with us, Cheryl from the United Kingdom, and we will be talking to her a bit later. First, happy Halloween. It's coming up very soon.
Happy Halloween.
What is Ryan going to be for Halloween?
Oh, he's going to be Boba Fett.
That's right. He loves Star Wars. He's going to be Boba Fett.
Boba Fett.
Okay, I need to see a picture of that.
Yes, I promise that can be arranged. He's already worn the costume once for a party on Saturday, and then he'll get to wear it a couple more times between now and Halloween. So he's very excited.
I'll bet. Alexander asked me to make a costume this year, and again, he's going as a pirate, but this year, he is a candy pirate.
A candy pirate?
You know, like the Pumpkin King or something? He's the candy pirate, so I know, I guess he takes your candy as booty. I don't, whatever.
Hey!
it's
branching out a little bit, you know? That's good.
Yes, he did tell me yesterday that he wants to be a robot next year, so let's hope. Oh, I think it's really cute that he likes pirates still, so.
Nope. Oh, and that's good that you're making his costume. Ryan's doesn't even bother to ask. He knows the answer.
Well, this is the first year that I've tried making it, so. And it went okay. It
wasn't you're very crafty, problem. So.
You know. Yeah, I like doing creative stuff. It's good stress relief.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, I want pictures as well, so.
Okay, definitely. Well, we have lots of news, and I know Cheryl has lots of stuff to share, so why don't we just go right to the news and newsletter section?
Okay, so in this week's newsletter, we have two articles. One from Cheryl Pendry, who is here and listening and is wonderful and did not pay me to say that, although did let me know that she wouldn't object if I did while she was here. So, Cheryl's life is so rough. She recently got back from a trip to Madrid. Okay. If I'm very good in this life, in my next one, I'm coming back as Cheryl. But so she has an article about Madrid's Royal Palace, whose name I'm not going to attempt to pronounce. And then we have another article, part two, actually, of Justine Fellow's series on transportation at Walt Disney World, The Underappreciated Ride, which is a really fun read. So two fabulous articles.
I was just looking at the transportation article, and there's a really funny story in there. So you be sure to read it. Actually, a couple.
Like that, yeah. So then we have news. Oh, do we have news? We have news, and we have news, and we have news. First news. I'll go with the personal stuff first. If you listened to the podcast last week, you heard me say that I was not going to be here this week, that I was, in fact, going to be at Universal or at Walt Disney World. Not hearing things, I'm not there.
It's terrible.
I'm very, very sad about that, but unfortunately I had a sort of minor, medical emergency that required hospitalization and is going to require, some other stuff. So my doctors put the kibosh on the trip to Walt Disney World, unfortunately, less than 48 hours before I was supposed to be on a plane. So I'm not there, but I'm going to be fine and I'm okay. So, but you may hear me missing from a couple of podcasts in the future. We're going to see what we can work out. But anyway, so if I haven't mentioned, trip insurance is a good thing to have.
Yes.
Get that in there. Yes. It's never for the thing you could possibly anticipate. Believe me, folks, when I tell you there is no way to see this one coming. Anyway, in Disney news, so if you're going to be in downtown Disney this weekend on Saturday and Sunday between 5 and 9 p.m., kids can wear costumes and trick-or-treat their way through the shops at downtown Disney. There's going to be a DJ and storytellers and all kinds of cool stuff. So Disney really gets into Halloween. It's a very fun time, and it's a great way to take advantage of the holidays at Walt Disney World and not have to pay admission to a park. So fabulous. D23, if you're a D23 member, they are having a very cool event this December called Magic and Merriment, and the tickets are now on sale on the D23 website. By the time I'm saying this, by the time you're listening to this, it could already be sold out. So
yeah,
you've been warned.
So, yes.
Yeah. Tickets are $235 per person. The event is taking place the second weekend in December and includes all kinds of cool things: a private screening of the upcoming documentary Archiving the Archives, all about the Disney archives, reserve seating at the Candlelight Processional featuring Whoopi Goldberg, private dinner on the set of the Indiana Jones stunts, just all kinds of, it's cool, trust me. Take my word for it. The military offer for 2011, there's been rumors sort of floating around, and parts of it have been released and other and then retracted, and it's been sort of unusual in the way that it's been announced. But anyway, between now and September 28th, 2011, active and retired U.S. military personnel or their spouses, but not both, can purchase four-day tickets, either base, park hopper, water park, you know, all that good stuff. So those are available at your local base or at Shades of Green or at the ticket booths at any of the four major theme parks. So there are tickets also available for Disneyland as well. So, you know, U.S. military personnel on both sides of the country have access to those. So, excellent. Moving on. This is fun news for me because I'm from New England. Disney has a new deal with Ocean Spray, which if you're from this area, or even if you're not, you're probably familiar with as the cranberry juice people. So as part of a deal with Ocean Spray, the Walt Disney Parks and Resorts, Ocean Spray products are coming to the park. So anytime you're drinking cranberry juice, you know, at Disney World, it's going to be Ocean Spray. They're also putting in a cranberry bog to next year's Food and Wine Fest.
I just got to see that.
That's so cool. And they're actually going to put one in Disneyland as well for their Food and Wine Festival, which takes place in the spring. So very cool. And there's going to be Ocean Spray. You know how Disney is with these corporate sponsorships. It's anywhere there could possibly be a cranberry, there's going to be a little Ocean Spray label. So craisins and all kinds of stuff. So, iPhone people, Jennifer, you added this piece of news, and there is a new app. Mm-hmm. For Disney Park. And what is
it? It's an app that it's really more fun to look at than like really like, you know, something you can stick your teeth into, but it's like high res photos and videos, and they have 360-degree panoramas of the parks and the hotels, and you can do some like very basic like trip planning, and then, you know, of course when your trip comes up, the magic mirror will come on and, you know, announce it. So, you know, it's just sort of a fluffy thing, but, you know, if you like Disney, it looks very pretty.
Yeah, but you know what, if you love Disney, you live for those little promotional fluffy things. So that sounds very cool. Those of you who have been waiting to hear what the entertainment offerings are, I'm going to be on the Disney Dream. There is a new 50-minute show called Believe. It sounds pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It's very sort of light on the details a little bit, but it's about a workaholic father who learns to believe mm-hmm. in magic. So Disney Cruise Line stage shows, if you never had a chance to sail, never had a chance to check out any of the shows, they are amazing. They're just incredible. So, and then there's also going to be the Golden Mickeys and Villains Tonight. So those are the, going to be the main shows on rotation on the new ship. Let's see what else we got. Oh, the other news, which I'm not seeing here, but I know, the price of Palo has increased or will be increasing.
Yes,
I should say, beginning on January 26th, sailing of the Disney Dream, and on the January 29th, sailings of the Magic and the Wonder, the price per person for Palo will increase from $15 to $20 per person. Mm-hmm. So still a really good deal. It's a big, you know, it's a 25% bump, but still it's pretty reasonable for what you're getting.
It's a great deal. Yes. I think we have so much news this week that I actually couldn't display it on the newsletter. So I'll have to pay attention to that.
Passporter news is not only my baby, but it is the weekly e-newsletter companion to your Passporter series of guidebooks. Comes out every week on Thursday, includes fabulous travel articles from those such as Cheryl Pendry, amongst others. I'm always looking for tips. I'm always looking for articles. You can reach me at news@passporter.com. You can subscribe at www.passporter.com.
And now I would love to introduce our special guest for this week's podcast, and that's Cheryl Pendry. Cheryl, are you there?
I am indeed.
Awesome.
Yay!
You sound great.
Hi, both of you. And thank you for all the lovely, lovely comments. I just, that was great to hear.
Well, it's, you know what? I'm not even buttering you up. They're all absolutely true. So.
For our listeners who may not know who Cheryl is a Passporter guide, a featured columnist, and the author of two books, which is Passporter's Walt Disney World for British Holidaymakers and Passporter's Disney Vacation Club Guide. So we are going to talk about signature dining today.
My favorite subject, dining at Disney. Yum.
All right, let's start with the very first basic question. What exactly is a signature dining restaurant?
Well, you know, it's quite interesting when you sort of think about this, because I instantly know what the signature restaurants are at Disney, but I was actually looking around to sort of find what a proper definition was for them, and it's actually quite interesting. You can't find one that easily. I think you can sum it up in a few points. Generally, it tends to be that it's more about fine dining. You'll tend to find the menus sort of change on a much more regular basis than at the other restaurants at Disney. You'll also find the atmospheres different. It's much more luxurious. It's like you're actually going there for a dining experience. That also, of course, entails a higher cost, as you'd expect. And also that there is a dress code in place. They do ask that you sort of arrive in business casual clothes, as Disney describe it. And that sort of just means they really don't want to see people turning up in sort of tank tops, those sort of things. But it's a lovely opportunity to dress up. I mean, I personally love getting the nice dresses out of the wardrobe. I never get enough chances to wear them usually. So it's a really nice opportunity for us to dress out and go out for a really nice night out.
So for those people who may not be aware, which ones are signature dining? Can you give us an example of which ones are?
Well, most of them are actually at the resorts, and they tend to be at the deluxe resorts. Our absolute favourite out of the whole bunch, and has been probably since we went there on our honeymoon many, many years ago, is the California Grill, right at the top of the Contemporary. Just Yum. Such a beautiful place to eat, such a great location. There is just nothing that beats watching Wishes and even Illuminations, because you can see that from up there. And it's just a wonderful place. Every time we go there, we have a fantastic meal there.
Can you use a dining plan at the signature dining restaurants?
You can indeed. With all these signature restaurants, it's actually 2 credits on the dining plan. So if we use the dining plan, what we tend to do is we tend to get the deluxe one, because we're the sort of people who have a snack for breakfast, and then we have a big lunch and a big dinner. So we'll tend to go to one of the more ordinary restaurants for lunch and just use 1 credit, and then go out for a really nice dinner. And the lovely thing about that is we don't get to the end of the meal and sort of dread the bill turning up, the check, as you guys would say, and looking at it and thinking, oh, how much have we just spent? It's just so nice to know it's all paid for. It's lovely. It's nice to get that worry off your mind.
Yes, it is. So, I mean, I think that before we had a dining plan, we didn't even call them signature dining restaurants. I think that there was sort of the business casual dress code and the higher price tag for these, but we didn't really differentiate them. Is that right?
That's my recollection as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. This is much more organized.
I think it's nice to say it's a signature restaurant, because people have got an idea what they're going to get when they get there. And also, it does actually say, look, you might end up spending a bit more money than perhaps you'd expect to spend. And I think it's good to signpost that before you get the nasty shock at the end of the meal.
I agree completely.
Yeah, it really can be a stunner when you...
Oh, yeah. Yes, it's not hard to get into 3 figures, even just for the 2 of us.
I know. Yeah, all right. So the restaurants are very nice, but are they appropriate for guests with kids?
I think most of them are. I mean, it's Disney. Let's face it, they are very accommodating to children. Probably the only exception you've got to that is one of the restaurants that actually technically isn't a signature restaurant. I don't really know what you'd describe it as. Probably signature plus times 10, which is Victoria and Albert's.
Right.
Which, that's the only place where young children really aren't welcome there. I think the age limit now, you guys will have to help me on this,
12.
I think is 11?
No, it's 12.
Yeah. Well, wasn't far out. But to be honest, most of the places we go to, we quite often see couples there. We might see families there. And it's not unusual at all. It is a more refined atmosphere. And I think it's probably your own decision about whether you know whether your child can cope with that, because the meals do tend to be longer as well. If we go to the California Grill, say at like 7 and Wishes is at 9, we know that there's every chance that that meal will last a couple of hours and will be timed beautifully for Wishes. Some children may be fine with that, other children may not.
Right. Now, we have taken Alexander to a number of signature dining restaurants, and sometimes I had to go out to the lobby with him, you know, because he did get a little bored. But I always felt okay about having him there, because this is Disney, and this is, you know, and there usually are other kids there. Usually they're dressed a little nicer, and they're on their best behavior. But they're there, and I think it just to reassure parents who might be thinking about doing this, it's okay.
And don't forget, there are also some in the parks as well. I mean, Cinderella's Royal Table is one that springs to mind. And of course, that's aimed at children. It's all about the princesses, and they'll love that. You've also got the Hollywood Brown Derby over at the studios. And Le Cellier is also becoming a signature restaurant from the beginning of March next year, I believe.
Only for dinner, yep.
Yep.
That's a popular one. So, Cheryl, what are your favorite signature dining restaurants?
Oh, definitely the California Grill. But we've also got a soft spot for the Flying Fish Cafe. We've had a couple of great meals there. In fact, if you sort of look at all of them, we've had some great experiences at all of the signature places. We had a wonderful meal at Narcoozie's when we were last in Disney. And we'll be going back to Artist Point when we next go, because we'll be staying at the Wilderness Lodge for the first time. And we've got some very fond memories of certainly me with the salmon and my husband with all the various meat that's on the menu there.
I love
Artist
Point.
I must admit, it took me a few years to get the Yachtsman Steakhouse because it had the word steak in the title. That's actually a really nice place to go. And if you don't eat meat, don't be put off by the name. I was for many years, and I now regret that.
Now, didn't you write an article about the Yachtsman Steakhouse? I seem to recall
that. Yeah.
You did?
Yes, in fact, I think you've written a number of articles on these places, so I will link them
into the
description.
I'm getting around them gradually.
Okay. Is there anything else that you would like to let our listeners know about signature dining?
Well, I think it's also worth covering. I've mentioned Victoria and Albert's. When I was sort of thinking about this, there's a few other places that aren't actually on the dining plan, so technically Disney doesn't call them signature restaurants. But it'd be interesting to see what you guys think. I'd certainly class them as signature restaurants when you look at the price they charge, the atmosphere. I'm thinking of places like Bistro de Paris over at France in Epcot. There's also Il Mulino at the Swan. And Shula's, another steakhouse over at the Dolphin, and also Blue Zoo, which is a fantastic place to eat. And they're perhaps the ones that don't get mentioned as often. So I think it's important to give those a mention.
I agree. I think that the price of each of those is similar to what you would pay, you know, at the signature dining restaurants, you know, when you're not on a dining plan, of course, because that's a whole different ballgame. Yeah, they're pricey, but very nice, refined restaurants. I agree.
And very good choices for a lovely dinner out at Disney.
Yes, I agree. All right. And now, before we get to our listener questions, we want to have I think we're going to call it our community corner. And
yeah, if anybody has any suggestions about what to call this, let us know.
Yes.
We're struggling for a name.
Yes. This week's podcast marks the beginning of our official community segment, where we are going to announce our listener celebrations and also the winner of our weekly contest. So this week, one of our listeners, Jennifer, who's also known as JNot17 around the Passporter neighborhood, is celebrating her first visit to Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party on Halloween. Woohoo!
Oh, and she'll love it. Love it.
Yes.
Be there actually on Halloween, and that's a sold-out party, too, so that's going to be a really good time.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And the winner of our contest is Passporter member Glenna, which is G-L-E-N-N-A, and she is the winner for this week's contest. We chose her name randomly from all of the folks who subscribed to our podcast, which we announced last week. And if you don't know what we're talking about for the contest, you can subscribe through our link at passporter.com/podcast. So Glenna, if you are listening and you hear your name, please send an email to podcast@passporter.com to claim your gift certificate.
Congratulations to our very first winner.
Yes, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much for all of the subscriptions that we've gotten so far and all of the celebrations. That's awesome. So if you haven't subscribed, please do. It's cool.
Oh, and don't forget, if you're wondering, if you're thinking, I sent them a celebration, we're going to be doing them, you know, in the week that you're actually celebrating. So if you sent us a celebration and it's for Christmas or it's for New Year's, you're not going to hear it until
the week
closer to the date.
Right, right, exactly. The podcast before that date.
So it's not that we didn't get it.
That's right. All right. So now we have some questions from our listeners. Let's see. The first one is from Angela VA. And she asks, California Grill, Ohana, or Narcoozie's for dinner? Which one is best for food, fireworks, or any other reasons?
Well, I think you two can guess what I'm going to say to that one. It's got to be the California Grill. Although, in all honesty, you can't go wrong with Narcooses as well. Fantastic place to view the fireworks and amazing food. But I would also say it kind of depends who's in your party, because Ahana's is another fantastic choice for dinner. And again, you can get some great views of the fireworks, but they're just very different food.
Yeah, Ohana is completely, I would put it in a completely different category than either California Grill or Narcooses. Ohana is a much more interactive, it's much more geared towards family. It's a much rowdier meal.
Right.
You know, good food, a great time, but if you're looking for something that's a little more elegant, I would say either California Grill or Narcooses.
I agree. Our next question is from Dr. Delphin, and she wants to know about Victoria and Albert's dress code. Is it formal gown dressy, like formal night on a cruise, or a step down like semi-formal night?
I'm a big fan of the little black dress for many occasions, but especially for Victoria and Albert's, it is. You will see people in a range from sort of what I call church clothes on up to tux and gown. So it really depends on, for me, it always depends on what am I there to celebrate. Sort of bases how dressy I get. But more often than not, you're going to catch me in sort of a cocktail dress, typically.
I agree. That's what I've worn as well. I think it has a lot to do also with how I'm getting there. You know, if I have to take the bus.
Be in your best ball gown on the bus.
Or if I'm doing something afterwards as well, you know, so that should be in, but, you know, I would lean more towards semi-formal night if I were, you know, doing that. So
I definitely lean towards semi-formal night, but I think the only exception to that is Victoria and Albert's, where I think the two occasions we've been, I've been in the same dress that I've worn on the formal night in the cruise, which it felt about right to be in that sort of dress for that sort of restaurant.
And our last question is from N. Me Boer, who writes, "Hi, I'm just looking for a little advice regarding plans. We are big fans of the basic dining plan, but in honor of our 10th anniversary, we are considering upgrading this year during the free dining promotion. I'm curious how your dining plans worked out. How did you feel that you got your money's worth? On the basic, we generally use a snack for breakfast, a counter for lunch, and table for dinner. We are a party of two adults, with kids ages 6 and 2. Many thanks in advance." So I think that she's considering upgrading from the
basic to deluxe.
Yes, basic to deluxe.
To get the best value for money out of your credits, you really need to be using table service credits. And it does depend whether either you can cope with 3 table service meals a day. Trust me, we did one day like that. It nearly killed us. 3 huge meals, just too much for us. But for some people, that may work great. But that's why we tend to do the 1-credit meal for lunch and the 2-credit meal for dinner, or vice versa, because we can only deal with 2 big meals in a day. So I think partially it is dependent on your dining habits as a family.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing the deluxe plan gives you the flexibility to do, depending on if you're staying at a resort that offers this, is room service. Room service is 2 table service credits. And so if you're staying at a deluxe property and you like a good room service breakfast, I love a good room service breakfast. Take advantage of having that. You can do room service. You can do hoop-dee-doo review. You can do the Spirit of Aloha dinner. You can do signature dining restaurants. It definitely gives you, it doesn't, depending on how you use the credits, it doesn't necessarily mean 3 sit-down meals a day. You're definitely going to be eating a lot more than you would with the basic dining plan, though, for sure. So look at what your plans are and what you want to do. And, you know, you do have young kids, so that might be a lot of sort of longer meals. And it's just completely based on, you know, do you think they're up for that and can they handle that? So.
And in terms of getting your money's worth, When we've used the deluxe before, I've kept an eye on how much I should have been paying for each of the meals. And I think over the course of 6 nights, we saved something like $300.
Wow.
And that was not the most cost-effective way to use it, because we were generally using it for a signature restaurant and 1 other restaurant. And you'd certainly get much better value for money if you had 3 table service meals a day.
Yeah,
I'd probably be rolling out of Disney by the end of that. But you can certainly make some huge savings on the deluxe dining plan. I've calculated it, and I've been amazed at how much we've saved.
Wonderful. Well, that's all of our questions. If you'd like to hear your question answered in the Passport Moms podcast, send an email to podcast@passport.com or post on our message boards at passporterboards.com. Thank you for joining us today, Cheryl.
No problem. It's been lovely to be back with you, and I can't believe it's been something like 39 episodes since I was last here. The time just goes by so quickly.
It does.
You're not kidding.
We have another Passport discount code for you. The code is good for 25% off the list price of any Passport in our store for the next 7 days. And the code is DINING. Just type DINING, all one word, all lowercase, during checkout at PassporterStore.com to get your discount. And that's our show, folks. Thank you for listening. Join us next week for more news, answers, and a special guest. Well, actually, next week might not have a special guest.
Yeah, we're still working on that.
We're working on that. Okay.
Bear with us.
Listen to our podcast at passporter.com/podcast. Talk to you next week, and happy Halloween.